In December 2006, I began visiting tiny places that produce Everest-size amounts of talent. My journey began at a ramshackle tennis court in Moscow, and over the next 14 months, it took me to a soccer field in Sao Paulo, Brazil, a vocal studio in Dallas, Texas, an inner-city school in San Jose, California, a rundown music academy in New York's Adirondacks, a baseball-mad island in the Caribbean, and a handful of other places so small, humble, and titanically accomplished that a friend dubbed them the Chicken Wire Harvards. Undertaking the journey presented me with a few challenges, the first of which was to explain it to my wife and four young kids in as logical, read, unhairbrained a way as possible. So I decided to frame it as a great expedition, sort of like those undertaken by 19th-century naturalists. I made straight-faced comparisons between my trip and Charles Darwin's voyage aboard the Beagle. I sagely expounded how small, isolated places magnify larger patterns and forces, sort of like petri dishes. These explanations seemed to work, at least for a moment. "Daddy's going on a treasure hunt," I overheard my 10-year-old daughter Katie patiently explain to her younger sisters. "You know, like at a birthday party." A treasure hunt. A birthday. Actually, that wasn't too far off. The 9 hotbeds I visited shared almost nothing except the happy unlikeliness of their existence. Each was a statistical impossibility. A mouse that had not only roared, but that had somehow come to rule the forest. But how? The first clue arrived in the form of an unexpected pattern. When I started visiting talent hotbeds, I expected to be dazzled. I expected to witness world-class speed, power, and grace. Those expectations were met and exceeded about half the time. For that half of the time, being in a talent hotbed felt like standing amid a herd of running deer. Everything moved faster and more fluently than in everyday life. You haven't had your ego truly tested until an 8-year-old takes pity on you on the tennis court. But that was only half the time. During the other half, I witnessed something very different, moments of slow, fitful struggle, rather like what I'd seen on the Clarissa video. It was as if the herd of deer suddenly encountered a hillside coated with ice. They slammed to a halt. They stopped, looked, and thought carefully before taking each step. Making progress became a matter of small failures, a rhythmic pattern of botches, as well as something else, a shared facial expression. Their taut, intense squint caused them to take on, I know this sounds weird, an unaccountable resemblance to Clint Eastwood. Meet Brunio. He's 11 years old, working on a new soccer move on a concrete playground in Sao Paulo, Brazil. He moves slowly, feeling the ball roll beneath the sole of his cheap sneaker. He's trying to learn the elástico, a ball-handling maneuver in which he nudges the ball with the outside of his foot, then quickly swings his foot around the ball to flick it in the opposite direction with his instep. Done properly, the move gives the viewer the impression that the player has the ball on a rubber band. The first time we watch Brunio try the move, he fails, then stops and thinks. He does it again more slowly and fails again. The ball squirts away. He stops and thinks again. He does it even more slowly, breaking the move down to its component parts. This, this, and that. His face is taut. His eyes are so focused, they look like they're somewhere else. Then something clicks. He starts nailing the move. Meet Jenny. She's 24 years old, and she's in a cramped Dallas vocal studio working on the chorus of a pop song called Running Out of Time. She's trying to hit the big finish in which she turns the word time into a waterfall of notes. She tries it, screws up, stops and thinks, then sings it again at much slower speed. Each time she misses a note, she stops and returns to the beginning, or to the spot where she missed. Jenny sings and stops, sings and stops. Then all of a sudden she gets it. The pieces snap into place. The sixth time through, Jenny sings the measure perfectly. When we see people practice effectively, we usually describe it with words like willpower or concentration or focus. But those words don't quite fit because they don't capture the ice-climbing particularity of the event. The people inside the talent hotbeds are engaged in an activity that seems on the face of it strange and surprising. They are seeking out the slippery hills. Like Clarissa, They are purposely operating at the edges of their ability, so they will screw up. And somehow, screwing up is making them better. How?